the holidays are quickly approaching, don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. You're listening to Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the CG Sportsbook inside the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio. Let's talk about last night. Duke throttling Kentucky. Other college basketball stories as well to get to with Ricky O'Donnell. From SB Nation on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Ricky, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm good, Matt. How are you?
I am wonderful. All right, Michael McCarthy from the Sporting News, his lead this morning on Zion Williamson, he described him as the power and grace of LeBron, the leaping ability of Odell Beckham Jr., charisma of Shaquille O'Neal, and the feet of Bristikov. Have you ever seen anything like Zion Williamson in college basketball?
No, I've never seen a player like him in any level of basketball. I've been writing about him since he emerged as a top high school prospect, and I have to say, even from the first time I saw him, he's gotten so much better until now. There was an idea that Zion was only a dunker. How was he going to be able to adapt playing against players his own size once he got to college basketball and ultimately the NBA? I think he answered those questions in a big way last night. His game is just so diverse. He's so comfortable handling the ball. He's a really unselfish player. He's a willing passer. Even hit a few jump shots, which is a big hole in his game. But, you know, his calling card is going to be that athletic explosion going to the basket. You saw last night he was able to take the Kentucky defenders off the bounce. And when he got in close, there was nothing anyone could do to stop him. He's going to be the best show in college basketball all year long. And you should enjoy him while he's at this level because it's only going to be here for a few more months.
Is this what we would have saw if LeBron James had been forced to go to college?
I think it probably would have been somewhat similar. I don't want to put Zion on LeBron's level immediately because I think that that's just an unfair comparison for an 18-year-old. Zion might not even be the best NBA prospect on his own team.
Right.
Saw what R.J. Barrett did last night, 33 points. He's actually the consensus choice for number one in most mock drafts at the onset of the season. Ultimately, I believe Zion will be the first pick just because his skill set is so unique. Barrett, while talented, there's a bunch of big wings who can kind of do what Barrett does. There's no one like Zion. So I think Williamson was phenomenal last night in his debut. If you're wondering what LeBron would have looked like at the college level, I think Zion's the best you're going to do.
You mentioned the jump shot being the biggest issue. What about the weight? He's 280. Did you think in the NBA that'll be his playing weight? Because he looks like he could lose a couple of pounds, and I'm assuming that once he gets into a college weight room full-time and then a pro eating and diet system, that he'll probably slim down a bit.
You know what's remarkable about that, though? He's able to play so hard until the end of the game. Consistently. I saw him at USA basketball camp about a year ago, and the same thing stood out to me. It's not like he's in poor shape, even though he carries so much weight. He's, playing with as high of a motor as anyone on the court for an extended period of time. I've never seen him get tired. He certainly didn't get tired last night. So to me, his strength in his just like weird frame is going to be a huge benefit for him. I was trying to think of a comparison for him last night, and the best I could come up with was he's Giannis with strength instead of length. It's just the type of body that no one's really seen before in basketball. And I think that, it's not an issue for him. He's going to leverage it to the best of his ability rather than have it be something that holds him back.
Yeah, I said he was Charles Barkley with a 45-inch vertical. Is that fair?
That's pretty good, too.
I mean, it is remarkable that he was going up last night up against seven-footers, and John Calipari talked about it after the game, that they were throwing 6'11 and 7-foot guys at him, and he just jumps over them like they're not even there. I mean, can he be guarded in college basketball?
I mean, you have to imagine, if he just did that to Kentucky, if Duke just did that to Kentucky, handing him a 34-point loss, what team is going to be able to stop this Duke squad? Duke was my preseason title pick at the beginning of the year. I just thought the fact that they could have the first three picks in the NBA draft, all of them being big, skilled, unselfish wings, was just something that no one was going to be able to match up with. I don't know if there's anyone who could slow this team down. Now, they're going to get zoned. There's going to be teams that, totally slow down the pace to the halt. There's going to be teams that try to get him in foul trouble early, and Zion did pick up two quick fouls last night. Otherwise, his numbers would have been even bigger. But, that's the main thing you have to take away from this. I think that Kentucky was a very popular title pick coming into the season. Kentucky was favored in that game against Duke last night, and Duke humiliated them in every way possible. I just don't see how anyone's going to be able to match up with them this year.
Yeah, like a Virginia game will be interesting, right? Like you go up against a totally contrasting style, but they've got the size, but they want to grind the game down and make it really boring, and they don't want to run with Duke, and they want to play their style of basketball. That might be the only type of team that could really hang with these guys, right?
Yeah, I think that's dead on. Also, the foul trouble can be a big thing. I mean, Duke is not deep. That's the thing. Like, they might have the first three picks in the NBA draft with R.J. Barrett, Zion Williamson, and Cam Reddish. But in terms of the rest of the roster, I mean, it's a bunch of, like, role players at best. They don't really have a dependable big man. They had a couple nice shooters last night, but we don't know how dependable they're going to be as the season stretches along. It's mostly going to be the three-star freshman plus Trey Jones, the other freshman point guard, carrying the majority of the load. So Coach K said it in his post-game press conference last night, we just need to avoid foul trouble. I think that's going to be the big thing for them all year long.
Interesting. So on the other side, Ricky, if you're a Kentucky fan, and you're coming in, you're feeling good, Vegas has you favored, everyone's thinking Kentucky is going to come out and show out their new talent with John Calipari, and here comes Kentucky's national championship hopes. Where does Kentucky go after this? I mean, is this a devastating start to their season?
I think so. I was not high on Kentucky coming into the season, or not as high on them as a lot of other people for a few different reasons. First of all, they just don't have enough shooting. It's the same problem with Kentucky every year. John Calipari recruits one shooter, where nowadays in basketball, it's like you need shooting at four different spots on the floor at minimum. The other thing is that their freshmen, while good, they're not the same level as the Kentucky freshmen we're used to seeing. Kelton Johnson, nice game yesterday. Tyler Hero will be better than he was last night, but they're not on the same level as De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Anthony Davis, Carl Towns. They're a cut below that. And also, they have no point guard play. I think, you know, what happens with their point guard situation is going to be a huge storyline to watch through the end of the year. They started Ashton Hagans last night. They also have Emmanuel Quickly. They also have Quade Green, who's a sophomore. Hagans doesn't shoot it at all. Quickly barely shoots it. They're going to need Quade Green to step up in his sophomore season, but Calipari doesn't seem to like him very much. So I think Kentucky has some real issues. They look good on paper, but, I mean, when you have no shooting and they almost have too many guys to determine a hierarchy, they're going to end up having some real problems, I think.
Gave up 59 points in both halves as well to Duke last night, which is not good for their defense. But Kansas was picked number one, Ricky, by the polls. I hate preseason polls, by the way, but anyways, they're picked number one. How far behind Kansas is Duke in your mind?
I mean, Duke's definitely the best team. I thought Duke was the best team heading into the game. The fact that Duke just embarrassed Kentucky like that, there should be no debate that, you know, will Duke even lose this year? That's the
right.
Only real question at this point. Kansas, with that being said, Kansas is loaded. Kansas is a very good college basketball team. Duke is like a junior NBA team playing in the ACC. But Kansas is interesting because of, you know, they go to the Final Four last year. Think of what they lose. Devontae Graham, Malik Newman, Svi Mykhaila. They lost so much from that team, and they're still able to reload to be the preseason number one. They did it in a really interesting way by mixing in proven productive transfers with five-star freshmen. Dedrick Lawson could be one of the best players in college basketball this year. I thought he struggled a little bit last night against Michigan State, but he still flashed a lot of the ball skills and playmaking ability that makes him a special power forward at 6'9". His brother KJ Lawson, who also came over from Memphis, he gave him some good spot minutes off the bench. And I thought Kansas' freshman guards were so dynamic last night. Devin Dotson at point and Quentin Grimes at the two. Just terrific. Grimes is going to be a top 10 NBA draft pick. He stroked five or six threes last night. He looked really good. And, you know, for Kansas, the thing that stood out to me is they were playing so inside out. That was like basketball from the 1970s, pounding the ball in the post. Everything was a kick out or a three for a three as Ibuki wasn't trying to finish inside. So they're a good team. I just can't put them on Duke's level, not with what Duke did last night.
Champions Classic had 1, 2, and 4 in the preseason rankings on the court, Michigan State being the other one, being number 10. Gonzaga, number 3, also played. They blew out Idaho State. We learned nothing about Gonzaga in that basketball game. But how do you feel about the Zags, a team out of the West Coast Conference, getting top 5 preseason love?
Yeah, I love the Zags. The Zags were my backup title pick this year. They didn't have Killian Tilly, who's going to be out with, I believe, a foot injury for the early portion of the season. But Tilly is phenomenal. He's one of the 10 best players in the country. Gonzaga's just got so many different ways to beat you. They have a four-year point guard, Josh Perkins, who started the national title game 2 years ago. They got Zach Norvell, my guy from Chicago, who turned into a breakout player in the NCAA tournament last year. They got Rui Hachimura, who's the most famous basketball player ever from Japan. He's the real breakout candidate, the guy to watch this year if you're looking for like a cool new player in college basketball to keep an eye on. And then Tilly is just unreal. So I think Gonzaga's loaded. I think they're going to the Final Four this year. They're just going to run the West Coast Conference once again, and I really want to see them against some legit competition later in the season.
Yeah, Rui Hachimura last night at 33 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists for the Zags, and that's a big one. And they really don't have a big game. I mean, their one big road test in the non-con is going to be a road trip first to Creighton, and then they'll play Tennessee, and they'll play North Carolina on the road as well. So they got a couple of non-conference games to watch. They'll play Washington as well at home, which is a good one for them. So they'll get going here in the month of December. But for them, really, Illinois, Texas A&M in November, they should be pretty much rolling through all their competition. Anybody not getting enough love in your mind? Anybody in the top 15 that you're really interested to watch here in the month of November?
I think what Nevada did last night against BYU is pretty damn impressive. Nevada, we all know about the comebacks last year in the NCAA tournament. You know, they were really close to breaking through if they could have got past Loyola.
Mm-hmm.
That team is just stacked. You have the Martin twins coming back. Those are two of the better players in college basketball. You have Jordan Caroline back. Then they've added a five-star freshman in Jordan Brown on the inside, which is the type of recruit that a Mountain West school never gets.
Right.
So I love Nevada. I feel like that is a total, like, if they were in the, they would probably win the Big Ten. Like, they could win power conferences. A lot of the power conferences pretty easily, I think, this year. But they're not going to get the respect because they play in the Mountain West. So we know anything can happen in March. It's a single elimination tournament, and that's why it's so much fun. But when Nevada gets in that tournament, I think they're going to be real dangerous, and some people might sleep on them just because of the conference they play in.
I totally agree, and I love Eric Musselman as the head coach with Nevada. And just to give everyone, you may not have seen it, but they beat BYU by 16 points last night. Cody didn't score. Cody Martin did not score. He was 0 for 4, played 29 minutes, had a bit of foul trouble. Caleb scored 21 points last night, but he didn't shoot the ball well at all. He was 4 of 13, scored most of the points at the foul line, 10 of 12, hit 3 threes on there. So that's a 16-point win against a BYU squad without having their two best players playing the way they're capable of. So I'm with you. People here in Nevada, in Las Vegas, UNLV fans are cringing at how good Nevada is going to be this year, because UNR is going to have a lot to say in March, and Musselman's a phenomenal coach for them. He just understands his players, and he just really gets after it. He's a great quote as well. So I'm with you on Nevada. I'm really curious to see what they're going to look like this year. A lot of non-Power 5 conference teams, Ricky. This is going to be a great year in college basketball, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a fun mix of, you know, traditional blue bloods like Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, and then, you know, you have a lot of these sort of emerging schools who are building their own culture this year. Should be a really fun season.
Absolutely. Ricky, great stuff. Thanks for the time. We'll talk again soon, all right?
Thanks.
Ricky O'Donnell, SBNation.com, joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. And I think he's completely right. If you guys are new to the show or haven't heard me talk college basketball, I'm a huge, huge supporter of non-traditional powerhouse programs in college hoops. I covered Creighton basketball for almost a decade. I went to UMass during the John Calipari years. And I love Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky. Don't get me wrong. Those are great, amazing programs with amazing coaches. But I'm naturally predisposed to watch Nevada, to watch Gonzaga, to watch Villanova, to watch teams that don't play football, who put all their eggs into the basket for basketball, that their programs are built on college basketball, their athletic departments are built on college basketball, and the Big East is my conference. And I know it's a little hard for me here on the West Coast to watch a ton of Big East basketball, but Nova had a nice win last night. They're a top 10 team. I love Jay Wright. I love Creighton basketball. They're going to have kind of a up and down year this year. We'll see where they look like, kind of a transitional year for the Blue Jays. But I love college hoops, and I'm fired up to have it back. We don't have a ton of time to talk about it every single day just because it's so much football and college and pro. But college hoops being back and the Zion Williamson story is going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be a ton of fun. We got a lot more to come on the program. We will talk to AJ Francis coming up, former defensive lineman for the Giants and for the Redskins. Dez Bryant back in the NFL. More to come. Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.